John 18:24 says, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, are you not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter had cut off, said, did not I see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, would we not have delivered him up to thee? Then said Pilate to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said to him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom, that I should release to you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release to you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Verse 24 again. Verse 24 says, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Now remember what's going on. Remember where we're at in John's gospel. Jesus, last week we looked at the first part of chapter 18. Jesus was betrayed by who? Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples. He came with a bunch of soldiers who were armed with weapons, clubs, swords, torches. Remember the story? Jesus came out and said, hey, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. Boom, he says, I am. They all get knocked over. They stand back up and he goes, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I told you, I already told that's me. And he allowed them, again, seeing that Jesus was the one in control of the whole situation. Right? It wasn't Judas who was in control. It wasn't the soldiers in control. Jesus was in control. Because as they're going to bound him, as they're going to tie him up or chain him up, what did Jesus say? He said, hey, you guys came looking for me, so all these other guys, you need to let go. You don't touch any of these guys. And that's exactly what they did. They let the other guys go. The disciples took off. They ran. Jesus allowed himself to be bound and went with them. They took Jesus to Annas' house. Annas wasn't the high priest. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Okay, so you got a whole family thing. They're in cahoots. So we pick up this morning in verse 24. Annas is done with Jesus. Remember, Annas examined him last week. Hey, tell us, are you the, what do you say? Look in verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus told him, hey, remember what happened? Hey, tell us the stuff about your teaching. Who are these disciples that are following you? And what did Jesus say? Basically, what he said is, what are you asking me for? I've been in the temple courtyards every single day. You guys were standing right there listening to every single word I said. I haven't said anything in public, in private. Everything I've said has been out in the open. You guys were there. This is illegal. You guys can't even be doing this. If this is what you're doing, then call witnesses to come in here. Ask my disciples. They can speak for themselves. They're big boys. They're grown-ups. Why don't you have them come in here? Remember the guard, the officer that was standing next to Jesus? What did he do? Open-handedly just smacked Jesus right in the face and said, hey, don't talk to the high priest like that. And Jesus, again, who's under restraint? Who's the one? Who's in control? Jesus is. He turns and looks at the guy and says, hey, if I spoke evil, then bear witness of the evil. Like if I said something wrong, then go ahead and point it out. But if I'm speaking the truth, then why in the world are you smacking me? Well, Annas is done with Jesus. And so verse 24 we're picking up this morning tells us Annas sends Jesus to Caiaphas, who was the actual high priest of the day. Verse 25. Well, real quick, verse 24, Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Now this is going to come up a few different ways in this passage as we're looking at it this morning. Annas sent Jesus how? He was bound. Okay, he's all tied up. He was bound going to Caiaphas' house. And right away, the picture that I got is that here. Look at the picture. Who's the one who's bound? Jesus is bound. Jesus was bound. Alright? Now look at verse 25. And Simon Peter, what was he doing? Remember where we left him last week? He stood and he was warming himself at the fire with who? He was warming himself by the same fire with the guys that just arrested Jesus. So look at the picture. Jesus is the one who's bound. Peter's not. Peter's free to do whatever he wants. And what's he choosing to do with his freedom? Stand and warm himself at the same fire the guys that arrested Jesus, the guys that are mistreating Jesus, the guys that are beating Jesus. Another gospel tells us that these guys in the courtyard here at the high priest's house, these were the guys throwing a bag over his head. These were the guys that were smacking him, punching him, said, hey, since you're the Messiah, go ahead and prophesy to us. Who's the one to hit you this time? Boom! They'd pull the bag up, spit in his face, put the bag back down. Who hit you this time, prophet? Boom! Come on, prophet, tell us. You're the Messiah, you're God's son. And Peter is standing there warming himself in the same fire as these guys. So right off the bat today, God's given us a picture. Jesus allowed himself to be bound so you could be free. So the question is, right from the get-go, what are you doing with the freedom God has given you? What are you using your freedom for? Think about it. God, the God that gave you life, the God that kept you alive last night when you were sleeping or trying to sleep, the God who sustained your life last night is the same one who allowed himself to be bound in your place so you could be free. So what are you doing to freedom? Are you warming yourself at the fire of the same people? You're just one of them. You're no different. I'm no different. Apart from Christ and allowing Christ to work in my life, to live His life in me and through me, I'm the same. I used to warm myself by the fire of the world. The same people, the same group, we're all a part of it. God has allowed Himself to be bound in your place. That's the definite. I deserve to be tied up. I deserve to be arrested. I'm the guilty one. You're the guilty one. God's not guilty. Man, think of all the blame and the accusation that God hears day in and day out from His creation. I'm not talking about the trees and the birds and the animals and the fish. I'm talking about the icing on the cake of God's creation. And what was that? You and me. You and I were created with a specific purpose out of all of creation. You and I were created with the capacity to house God in His fullness. You and I were created to walk with God. Trees weren't. Trees do exactly what they were created to do. The dirt does exactly what God created dirt to do. It fulfills its purpose. It honors its creator. By just being dirt. And yet God took dirt and He put it together. It's almost as if God loved you so much, knowing that we would use the freedom that He bound Himself so that we could be free. And He used, and we know, knowing that we were going to use that freedom to warm ourselves by the fire with everybody else, totally turning our backs on Jesus, saying, you know what? I don't want to draw close to you and stay warm. I want to warm myself with everybody else. Lumping yourself in. No one else is lumping you in or forcing you or strong-arming you to go warm yourself by the world's fire. That's our bent. I don't want to be dependent on Him for warmth, and so I'm going to go find my warmth somewhere else. And guess where it is? It's one of two fires. Hebrews 12:29 says that our God is a consuming fire. But see, this is the issue. You don't want to be consumed because you want to use your freedom how you want to use it. You don't want to be consumed by God. I don't want to live my life for God. I don't want to be who God created me to be. I want to do what I want to do. And it doesn't matter who you are. Every single one of us is guilty of warming ourselves by the fire of the world. Something I'm going to bring up over and over again this morning is this. Jesus Christ is your is. Not was. Is your substitute. So as we read through this and we talk about it, this is what I want you to picture. Jesus Christ substituted Himself in your place. Not the person sitting next to you. I'm talking to you as an individual. Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the one, the only one that could ever redeem you or buy you back, pay your debt in full, is the one who came and He put Himself willingly in your place. I never asked Him to come and do it for me. Again, you got to remember, why did He make us? It's almost as if knowing that most of His creation, humankind, would reject Him, God's love is so strong that He had to. He had to fashion us in the hopes that some would respond or reciprocate that love. That's why John tells us in 1 John, he didn't just write the Gospel of John, he wrote three other little letters and the book of Revelation. But in one of his little letters, what he wrote is, we love God. Why? Because He first loved us. God is always the initiator. God is first. God initiates that love relationship with you first. That's why when I say I didn't ask him to come down and die for me, I didn't ask him to come and substitute himself for me. He did it on his own because of his love. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us. He proves it by his actions. He doesn't wait for us to say, oh, one day I guess I'm done, and well, I guess I'll love you, God. He doesn't wait. He came and substituted himself in your place and in mine before you even thought of asking him. Now, I'm talking to you, the individual. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I want you to understand that. Don't think, while I'm saying this, oh man, I hope so-and-so is listening who's sitting next to me or over there, because they really need to hear this. I'm talking to you. Don't you understand that Jesus Christ substituted himself for you? You're going to see it through the whole passage. Verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see you in the garden with him? This guy's looking at Peter, who just denied Jesus. He looked at him and he says, hey, I was in the garden tonight, man. And Malchus, the guy whose ear got cut off, he's my cousin. I know you were there. You're the guy that just chopped my cousin's ear off. And what Peter says, one of the other Gospels, Mark's Gospel, says that with cursing and swearing, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Man, I don't know the filth and foul, so get your filth away from me because I don't know that guy. This is Peter. Peter, the great apostle, the disciple, the one who just stood up hours before at the Last Supper and said, you know what, Jesus? Let me tell you something. You're talking about one of us denying you. You know what? All these other mocks, they'll deny you first. I'll never deny you. I'll even die for you. I'm ready to die for you. And hours later, what's he doing? Cursing, swearing, as Jesus is right there looking at him. Jesus is right there, and he's cursing and swearing. I don't even know that guy. So back off. And the guy's got a nail. Dude, you're the guy that just cut. If someone came into the park right now and cut your friend's ear off, and then you saw him an hour later, hey, didn't I just see you in the park? You're the guy that cut my cousin's ear off, or my friend's ear off, or whatever. No, I didn't. It's like I still got blood on his clothes and everything else. Verse 27, Peter then denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, early in the morning, that is. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Picture number two. You didn't get the first one, there's another one. Who entered into the judgment hall? What's it say? Who did they lead into the hall of judgment? Jesus. Jesus is led into the judgment hall. Did anybody else go in there with them? No, they didn't. Why not? Because they didn't want to be defiled. They didn't want to go, they couldn't go into a Roman pig's house because, being the godly Jews they were, they wanted to eat the Passover. And if they went in, they wouldn't be able to eat for 24 hours, so they'd miss the whole Passover meal. But since they're such God-fearing Jews, they didn't go in. Now that's what's going on in verse 28. They led Jesus from Caiaphas to the hall of judgment. It was early in the morning. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Here's the picture for you. Here's the picture for me. Jesus was led into the hall of judgment. Jesus was led into the judgment hall. Nobody else went in with them because they didn't want to be defiled, because they wanted to eat, they wanted to partake in the Passover meal. Jesus Christ, again, as your substitute, allowed himself to be led into the place of judgment. You and I didn't go in. He entered into judgment on your behalf. Why? So you wouldn't become defiled to the point where you couldn't partake of the true meaning of Passover. Jesus was led into judgment in your place. I deserve to be bound. I deserve to be led into the hall of judgment and have somebody look at me and say, you know what? I deserve to have God look at me and say, you are guilty. You are guilty. But what's the picture? Jesus went in by himself. So that the Jews, so that everybody else that was with there accusing him, again, we're all part of that group, right? There's one of two fires, right? You're drawn close to Jesus, or you're with everybody else. Jesus said, you're either with me, you're either for me, or you're against me. You're either gathering with me, or you're scattering. There's only one of two. You're either a good tree or a bad tree. You're bearing good fruit or you're bearing bad fruit. Good trees stick around. They're pruned, they bear more fruit. Bad trees are uprooted and thrown into the fire. So what's the picture? Jesus enters into judgment in your place, in my place. Why? So that you wouldn't be defiled, so that you wouldn't be cut off, so there wouldn't be any hope, so that you could partake of the Passover. And what's the whole Passover? We saw it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, with Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples. He took bread at a certain point, and what did he say? This, here, take this, eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. That's what this whole thing, these hundreds and hundreds of years, has been pointing to. This moment in time. Remember what Jesus said. Father, the hour is come. The time is now. It's at hand. The clock is ticking. It's time for me to go to the cross. The Passover meal. This is my body which is broken for you. This is it. Take part of it. Take it. Eat it. Believe. Feed on it. Chew on it. Absorb it into your body. What? His actual body? Is that what he was talking about? If it was actually his body, he would have popped off fingers and said, hey, nibble on my finger. This is my body, which is broken for you. Ooh, sick. That's weird. He didn't do that. His body wasn't broken yet. It's a picture. This whole time, the Passover meal has been pointing to me. My life is the one that's broken for you. This cup, the third cup in the four cups of the Passover meal, the third cup is called the cup of redemption. Jesus takes it, he blesses it, and he passes it around. He says, here, you guys drink this because this cup represents the new covenant, the new contract, the new testament, the new deal signed in my blood, sealed in my blood, written in my blood. What new deal? What new contract? What new testament? What new covenant? The new covenant between God and man. God sent his son, became a man. Jesus laid down his life. His life was broken. His blood was shed. Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to set a mother against her daughter, a father against his son, brother against brother, and sister against sister, and go down the list. Now, what was he talking about? He was talking about, look, when people start believing and they start following me, other people aren't going to like it. Because there's only one of two fires. There's only one of two groups. You either enter into the judgment hall on your own, God's judged you. You're judging yourself. Jesus allowed himself to be let in as your substitute. The question is, are you going to accept the substitution? Are you going to accept the substitution? Because if you don't, then you cannot partake of the true Passover. Which Paul says in one of his letters later, Jesus Christ, he says, truly, Jesus Christ himself is our Passover. He's the Passover lamb. He was one sacrifice for us. So do you get the second picture? Jesus allowed himself to be entered into judgment so that you and I could be free to partake of the fruit of that substitute. The benefit of that substitute, because he was going in under your name. So it was your punishment, it was your debt that was being meted out. So when it processed all the paperwork, it was Josh Olson's name. His debt is paid in full. Because he paid with his life. But it wasn't my life. One of the last things Jesus screamed out from the cross was, Tetelestai, Greek word. And everybody around standing there listening and going, man, this guy's crazy. Of course, he's dehydrated, he's lost all his blood. They beat him beyond recognition. He's delirious. He's rambling now. But you know what tetelestai means? You know what Jesus literally said in English? He said, paid in full! And it's not red ink, it's red blood. He died, Paul said, so that the handwriting of requirements, the debt that you owed, that bill of sale, the bill of debt that's got your name on it, with every thought you've ever thought, all the commandments of God that you've broken willingly, trespassed willingly, your name's on it. What's the debt you owe? Death. Eternal separation from God. No hope of ever having life at all. And yet, if you allow the substitute to take your place, you accept the free gift of God, guess what? Dip in his blood and boom! Paid in full. Your debt's canceled, man. You're free to go. You're free. So the first one, he was bound for us so we could be free. The second one, he entered into judgment for us so we could be free. Verse 29, Pilate walks out to the Jews and he says, what accusation bring ye against this man? It's a good question. Especially when it's coming down to, hey, we got this guy, we brought him to him, hey, we want you to judge him. This guy's standing in my judgment hall. So he goes out and asks these guys that won't come in because they want to defile themselves, hey, what are you guys accusing this guy of? And I love their answer. You know what they say? Well, if he really wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him here, would we? Okay, so what are you accusing him of? So what is it? What's your accusation against Jesus? Because again, you're in one or two groups today. You're either walking with Jesus, drawing near to Jesus, or you're in the other group, doing what you want to do still. Jesus allowed himself to be bound. Jesus allowed himself to enter into the judgment hall. And so the question comes to you today, all right, Jesus entered in as your substitute, so what's your accusation against Jesus? Come on, let's have it. Come on, stand up today and accuse Jesus of whatever it is you want to accuse him of. What's he guilty of? Tell me. That's the question to you. Pilate's asking you, because you're in the group. If you're not walking with him, then what are you accusing him of? Why aren't you walking with him? Why aren't you following him? Because there's got to be a good reason as to why you're not walking with Jesus. There's got to be. Come on, tell me how Jesus let you down. What did he do to rub you the wrong way? You know what rubbed me the wrong way? The whole thing that he came and substituted himself for me without me asking him. I couldn't get over that. That was a hurdle that was too high. I never asked you to come down here and substitute yourself for me. What are you accusing Jesus of today? Because when you're not walking with him, that's what you're doing. Whether by word or by deed, you're accusing Jesus of something. That's why you're not walking with him. So when they answer and they say, well, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him here in the first place. So Pilate says, okay, that's how we're going to play. All right, you want to play games? This is what you do. You guys take him out of my house, get him out of my judgment hall, and you guys go judge him according to your law. You're not going to give me specifics. You guys take him. You guys deal with him. You guys judge him according to your law. The Jews answered Pilate, and they said, verse 31, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. And we want this guy crucified. That's why we brought him to you. We can't do that. When the Romans came and imposed themselves over Israel, they took away their sovereign rights to execute capital punishment. That rested on the shoulders of the Roman governor. So that's why they bring it to Pilate's judgment hall. Hey, we don't want to just let, this guy's a criminal, or else we wouldn't have brought him here. Okay, what's he guilty of? He goes, oh, all right, you want to play games? You guys take him. You judge him according to your law. Yeah, but we don't want to just judge this guy. We want to crucify this guy. So Pilate, scratching his head, verse 33, Pilate enters into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Other gospels tell us very clearly that was the accusation. Hey, this guy's a king. He's going to cause problems. He is causing problems. He says he's the king of the Jews. So he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Verse 34, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? He says, hey, did you come up with that on your own? Is that your question? Are you asking me if I'm the king of the Jews? Or did they tell you to ask me, and are you the king of the Jews? So who am I talking to here? Basically is what Jesus is saying. Am I talking to you, Pilate, or am I talking to the Jews outside? Are you thinking for yourself right now, or are you letting them think for you? Are they putting words in your mouth, or is this really coming from your heart? Do you really want to know this, or are you just kind of... Look at verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Like, come on, man. Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? So obviously, something we can draw from this, Pilate is not satisfied with the accusation of him being the king of the Jews from the Jews. He says, look, man, I'm not a Jew. Your own people, your own chief priests, your own religious system delivered you to me. They dropped you off here on my doorstep. Come on, just tell me, what have you done? So Jesus answers him. Because now he's talking to Pilate. Hey man, come on, tell me, what have you done? Verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. He says, look. So again, remember the question. Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? And really the question is, hey, what have you done? What are you guilty of? Jesus looks at Pilate and says, you know what, Pilate, let me tell you something. My kingdom, it's not here in this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was, my servants, who are his servants? Who are God's servants? Who are his ministers in heaven?
Angels.
Okay? Remember what Jesus said in another gospel, and Peter pulled out his sword and struck off Malchus's ear? Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, put your sword away. Don't you know that right now I have 12 legions of angels at my disposal? I don't need your puny little sword, man. I got 72,000 angels just waiting. I got 72,000 just, they're right here right now. All I got to do is blink, give them the sign, you know, give them the high sign or whatever, and they'll wipe everybody out. I don't need your sword, fisherman. Put your sword away, man." So Jesus is telling Pilate, "Look, my kingdom isn't of this world. Because if it was of this world, then my servants would be fighting." You read stories in the Old Testament where one angel goes out and slaughters 180,000 Assyrians in one night. Just one. The whole entire Assyrian army sitting in a valley waiting to destroy Israel, and one angel goes out there and just... There you go. And Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, don't you know I got 72,000 angels standing right here? I don't need you to fight for me, man. My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight, and they wouldn't allow me to be given over to the Jews." So in one aspect, you and I could both say, Pilate could say, in his ignorance, "Wow, thank God that Jesus' kingdom isn't here on the earth. That's not of this earth. Because if it was, his servants would fight. And the servants are the angels. They would fight and they just wipe everybody out." Verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" So what you're telling me, Jesus, is that you are a king? I mean, help me out here. I don't know if I'm quite tracking. Because again, it's early in the morning, right? They probably woke Pilate up, and so he's like, "Hey, man, you know, get this guy out of here. You guys deal with him yourself. Or we want to crucify him." Oh, here we go. Okay, what'd you do? "Well, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. They wouldn't let me be given over to the Jews. Right now, my kingdom's not here." And so he's kind of trying to, now he's starting to wake up a little bit. Like, "Whoa, what's going on? What are you talking about? Jesus, so what you're telling me is that you are a king then? Is that what you're trying to say?" Jesus answered Pilate, verse 37. He says, "You say that I'm a king. You say that I'm a king. To this end I was born." To what end? To be a king? No, he already was the king. "To this end I was born. And for this cause came I into the world." This is the reason why I was born here. This is the reason why I took on a human body. This is the reason why I came. And what is it? "That I should bear witness unto the truth." The whole reason I came here was to bear witness to the truth. "Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone that's of the truth hears my voice, Jesus said. Now Pilate's awake. Now we're getting to the heart of the issue. Verse 38, Pilate looked at Jesus and says, "What is truth? You came to bear witness to the truth. That's the whole point why you're here. You came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone that hears your voice, everyone that hears, is that the truth, hears your voice? So what is truth?" That's a good question, but it's off a little bit. Because Jesus said earlier that "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. So the question isn't, what is truth? The question is, who is truth? Who's true? Well, Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. Any of you not told a lie? Raise your hand real high, I can't see it. Every single one of us is lying. That's Scripture. God's not pointing fingers. All God's doing is saying, hey, look, this is the way it is. God's true. Everybody else is a liar. So not what is truth, who is truth? Well, Jesus said, I am the truth. And when Jesus said this to Pilate, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. This guy's guilty of nothing. Now he's got me thinking. This guy's not guilty of anything. Verse 39. Hey, but you know what? I got an idea. You guys always, we have this custom that we've been doing ever since I've been the governor here, trying to keep you guys happy. You have a custom that I should release to you, one at the Passover. What the custom was at Passover time, Pilate would say, all right, feast time, Passover time, who do you want me to release to you? I got all these prisoners, all these guys that I've been holding and arrested and whatever this past year. I'll let you pick one and I'll let them be released. You guys have whoever you want. So Pilate's got this idea. So he's thinking like, oh man, these guys don't want to let Jesus go. So he kind of turns to the crowd and he says, hey, would you therefore that I release to you the King of the Jews? Is that a good idea, everybody? You guys know the custom we have with each other. I always let one person go. So he turns from the chief priest, he looks to the people, and he says, hey. Now why did he turn to the people? Well, obviously they got a bone to pick with Jesus already. What's Pilate thinking about that would make him turn to the people and think this idea of, hey, I can just ask the people, and they'll say, oh, overwhelmingly, you know, the vote, the loudest cheer, or whatever, hey, yeah, let the King of the Jews go. Let the Messiah go. Now, what's causing him to probably get his wheels going thinking about this? Well, what happened a week earlier? Not even a week. Palm branches. Jesus riding on a colt to pull the donkey. And what's everybody saying? Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's the Messiah. Here he is. I mean, it was like the whole entire place was erupting. Because the Messiah was here. The King of the Jews has come. And so Pilate gets this idea and goes, oh, hey. He kind of shuns the chief priest and he goes to the people and says, hey. Remember my custom? Would you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Verse 40. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Hey, don't release the King of the Jews. We want Barabbas. Now, John says Barabbas was a robber or a thief. One of the other Gospels tells us Barabbas was one of the rabble-rousers, one of the leaders of this big, huge uprising. Yeah, he was a thief and stuff, but he was also arrested because in the last uprising they were part of, Barabbas murdered somebody. So this guy's not just like a pickpocket. This guy's a murderer. This guy killed people in cold blood. And so again, to the left of the people, Pilate says, hey, do you want me to release Jesus or somebody else? Actually, he doesn't offer anybody else. He says, hey, do you want me to release Jesus? One of the other Gospels Pilate brings out Barabbas, and they're standing both there. Here's Barabbas. This guy's bad news. Nobody likes Barabbas. He's a murderer. And so he thinks, man, I'll get the nastiest guy I got in prison, and I'll stand him out here next to Jesus. Okay, which one do you guys want me to release? How about the king of the Jews? Everybody says, ah. Hey, release those Barabbas. That's who we want. Again, last time, Jesus Christ substituted himself in your place and in mine. Yeah, but I'm not a murderer. Go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus says, you've heard it said to those of old, you shall not kill. All right, that's commandment number 6, 10 commandments. Number 6, you shall not kill. But I say unto you, Jesus said, if you have hate in your heart towards a person, you're already guilty of murder. God looks at it the exact same way. Anybody here ever never hated anybody? Because if you raise your hand, I was going to say, hey, I gave you the opportunity earlier to see if anybody hadn't lied before. You're all liars anyway, so I wouldn't believe you if you did raise your hand. Jesus Christ was substituted in Barabbas' place. Jesus was bound. Jesus was led into the judgment hall. Jesus was sentenced to death in your place and in mine. Again, you and I are the ones that are guilty before God. You and I are the ones guilty of breaking God's law. And yet Jesus, who came to fulfill the law, remember he told his disciples, don't think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus came, again, as your substitute in mine, to fulfill the law, because we broke the law. And then he came to substitute himself in your place and in mine, in paying the debt that you and I owed God. Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas was a thief. You ever stolen anything? Yes. You said no, I wouldn't believe it because you're a liar anyways. Yes, you have. It doesn't matter if it's a pen or a pencil or a staple, something from your boss's. It doesn't matter. It's not yours. You didn't pay for it. Yeah, but you don't know how much I don't get paid and how much I deserve. And don't go down that road. Jesus Christ substituted himself in your place and in mine. Again, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love towards us. He proved it by substituting himself for you. God demonstrates by his actions his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, while you and I were still sinning, while you still are sinning, Christ came and did what? He died for us. Jesus Christ came, substituted himself for you. Again, I'm talking to you, not the person next to you. He substituted himself for you personally. He entered into death so that you might have life. He allowed himself to be bound so that you and I could be free. Like we talked about yesterday, a Bible study here in the park. We have Bible study every Friday at 10 o'clock. Like yesterday, we talked about it. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. He came and offered himself in your place freely. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he wanted to. Father, I thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word, the pictures that you give us, the way you speak to us, the way you speak to me through your word. And Lord, we ask that today that you would help each and every single one of us today that are here to allow you to do that work in us that only you can do. Bringing us to that point of understanding, beginning to understand, our eyes beginning to be opened, to really understand, to get a grasp of, to sink our teeth into exactly what it is that you've done for us, the way you've provided through your Son, Father, so that we can be free. As Russell reminded me this morning, as you said, Jesus, if the Son sets you free, then truly you are free indeed. Lord, that's the work you need to do. It sounds impossible, might seem impossible. But again, Lord, you are the God who does the impossible. So do that impossible work in each and every single one that's here today. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child, you can't even see the kingdom of God. There's another picture. Not will you not come up to the pearly gates and they'll say, oh, sorry, you can't get in. You won't even see it. You'll never taste of it. You'll never get a whiff of it. You'll never even come close to even catching a glimpse of the kingdom of God if you don't swallow your pride. Vomit it out. Don't swallow your pride. Die to it. Humble yourself and allow yourself to receive. If I put a big, huge gift out here, if I put a big, huge present out here right now wrapped up and it's got your name on it, guess who'd be the first one to start ripping it open? He would. You know why? Because there's no pride. He doesn't understand what pride is. Kids aren't proud. We have to teach them how to become stubborn, prideful people. Something what a man of God said a while ago, he said, children are afraid of the dark. Listen to this. Children are afraid of the dark. Adults are afraid of the light. Children are afraid of the dark. Adults are afraid of the light. You don't come to the light as an adult because you don't want your true self to be exposed. You don't want your sin to come out. And so you just stay in the dark. But isn't that amazing? We teach kids not to be afraid of the dark. It's okay. Don't be afraid of the dark, because I'm not afraid of the dark. I love the dark. I hate the light. Don't worry about the... See what I'm talking about? Jesus came into the world as the light of the world. So remember that. Kids are afraid of the dark. Adults are afraid to walk in the light. There's no greater responsibility you have today. God has given you that gift. It's sitting right in front of you this morning. The gift is His Son. It's wrapped. It's got a big pretty bow on it. Make you happy. The kind of paper you like. Got a card with your name on it. All you got to do is open it. All you have to do is rip it open. Take it out. Appropriate it. Take possession of it. Make it your own. Take some time today. If God has spoken to you, take some time to respond to God. Not me. You don't respond to me. You respond to God. This is God's word. Not Josh's word or Josh's opinion about the word. It's God's word. That's it. If God's speaking to you today, you need to respond to God. Because He's the one talking to you. He's the one trying to draw you to Himself through His Son.